Good afternoon. Today's scripture is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 4, 19 to 22. It is written in the bulletin. Also, you can find in the church Bible. Jeremiah, chapter 4, verse 19 to 22. I will read it. My anguish, I writhe in pain, all the walls of my heart. My heart is beating wildly, I cannot keep silent. For I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of the war. Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. How long must I see the standards and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are wise in doing evil, but how to do good? They know not. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask you to open our eyes, ears, and hearts so that we can clearly discern your will and obey it with our faith in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The story below is an illustration not based on the true story. One evening, the children are in bed and a husband is washing the dishes and cleaning the house at the end of the day. All of a sudden, his wife coming down the living room with inappropriate clothing and a smelling of strong perfume. And she says she'll be going out for the evening. To make matters worse, and outside the house door, an ugly man, much shorter than this husband, is waiting and dressed in a luxury cloth and reeking a strong cologne, the perfume. The husband was speechless in this absurd situations. He just stared at his wife as she went out for the evening with this ugly guy. After the husband gained his consciousness again and his mind came to the realization of the present situation, his heart was about to burst and he was clenched in anger, and he saw his wife clasping her arms around this ugly man as if he was her husband. Can you imagine the situation this husband had to endure at this moment? This scene is a vivid description of God's heart towards Judah. A spouse should be faithful in their marriage and the family, but committing adultery in front of the opposite spouse. Please don't think of it as just one woman's affair. Conversely, you can imagine the husband does the same thing to his wife. In fact, for more than 860 years from the time of the Exodus to the time of Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah, when he saw the destruction of the kingdom of Judah, God has been pointing out the sins of the Judah adultery. It is the first commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods than gods before me. Prophet Jeremiah Irmeyahu, from the Hebrew name meaning that Yahweh will exhort, from the roots Rom, meaning that exhort, to exhort. Yah is referring to the God. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet who preaches the word of God to the people of the Israelites. According to Jeremiah chapter 1, 2-3, he began to his ministry in 13 years of the king Uzziah, who was righteous before God, and continued to until the end of the first 11th year of the Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. Converted to our current calendar from the 727 BC and to May 7 to 10, 586 BC, when the city of Jerusalem was burned down, Jeremiah worked for about 42 years. It is not known exactly which age of the Jeremiah was called, but it is inferred that when God called Jeremiah referred him to himself as a child before him. So for reference, according to the legal standard of the Leviticus, only descendants of the Aaron from the age of 25 to 50 could serve as a priest. So in this case, and then also, when the number of the Aaron's descendants becomes small, the people are small, then service age was sometimes lower to 20. So in this case, we can guess that his age was in between 20 to 25. So he was pretty young. Man, I'm 39, so you can imagine that when I was 20, that I was so active and then going around. And then, so it is around Jeremiah was 20 to 25 that he was called to be a prophet. One uniqueness of the book of Jeremiah is the usage of the phrase, "The word of the Lord came to me, Vahi Ezevar Yafeh Ele," according to the ESV Bible, current Our Version. The expression appears about 501 times in total in the Old Testament. And in Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah, it appears 161 times. It is about one third of this phrase appeared in Jeremiah. And then also, just book of Ezekiel, this phrase also appeared 127 times. So combining this Jeremiah and Ezekiel, it is over just half of the Old Testament. So my interpretation of the intensive usage of this phrase, "the word of the Lord came to me," it is that both prophet Jeremiah and even Ezekiel were surrounded by numerous false prophets at the time, so that also due to their young ages, so its phrase gave them some authority to speak to people. Personally, I don't think there is a book like a book of Jeremiah to understand the intents of God's emotions and who endured the corruption of the Israelites at the time. So personally, I think today's text is one of best things at the highlight of the first half of the movie. When you see the movie, and then sometimes when you see the movie in the beginning, there is a highlight scene, and you can understand what's going on in the movie. And then today's passage is similar, that how Jeremiah ministered would like. So today's text is a part of the long poetic discourse that begins in chapter 2 to continues until chapter 6. Jeremiah would think that his call to repentance and his own repentance meant to Judas would again receive God's judgment, postponement, or just pardon, forgiveness. But in chapter 4, God repeating three times that God already set his mind to bring judgment on Judah. And when Jeremiah found out this, his mind to bring, the prophet Jeremiah himself lamented. And also he himself kept listening the sound of this war sound. And then just that would take place about 30 years later. So 30 years later of the Jeremiah ministry, that the judgment will come. It is just written in history. And then just during his ministry, and then he keep listening this alarm of the war, and then see the vision that the flag of the enemies that just keep coming to the nation of the Judah. And then throughout the ministries, day and night, that he see and then listen this alarm of war. And then verse 19 to 20, 21, today's passage, are the lamentations of the prophet Jeremiah. And verse 22 leads to the lamentation of God. So after considering today's passage and three points found in the today text, I want us to learn about how to do good, which was one of God's desire to the Israelites. First point. First point found in the text is that Jeremiah, the prophet, had to undergo severe suffering and endurance. As with all the prophets, Jeremiah was a prophet who worked hard and had to endure much sufferings. He was told by God not to pray for his nation and people. His job is prophet as just pray for nations and pray for people. But God told him that not to pray for them. The men of Judah also threatened to kill him if he continued to prophesy in the name of the Lord. So people say that, "Don't prophesy to us, then we will kill you." There was a threat that he received from the people. He was told not to marry by God's command. And pits and snares of death were set before him during his ministry. It is numerous times. He was humiliated and then ridiculed by people all day long. People may pick up the stones and then throw to him and then just ridicule him that, "You are a spy, and then you just want to just give up our nations." Because he couldn't blame God, he even, because of his agonies that he carried, he even cursed his own birthday. Because he cannot blame God, why you call me? So he just cursed his just birthday. I'd rather just not be born. Just that was his curse on his birthday. He was even locked in a crypt. It's a very dark in a just cave and then crypt where nothing could be seen. The list goes on throughout the book of Jeremiah. And I just confess that I tried to read whole chapter Jeremiah, but I was not finished. This is finished at chapter 37 that I just found out so far. The list goes on, but among these, I think the most severe suffering was hearing the sound of the war and trumpet and seeing the flag of the battles according to today's text. Jeremiah would desire to sleep peacefully at night. At least the night that just everyone wants to sleep just peacefully. And then throughout the daytime that having some peace and then rest. But he was not able to. But he heard the frequent sounds of the war and then saw the flags of the enemy as a vision. He continued to hear the sound of the wars and then see the flag of the just enemies and army. And he went out and then just preached and then told the truth to people that the destructions. And then just people said, not listening to his sermon. Even he prayed to God and God said, no more praying. Don't pray to me. I will not forgive this time. I will not forgive them this time. So this pain outside, people not listen, and then God listened. God did not listen to his prayer. So this pain that he had to endure was so intense. And then it was unbearable. In verses 19 of today's text is translated as, my anguish is a severe mental and physical pain. It is depression. Original word, may I, means that my stomach. This pain is a pain used when a woman gives birth to her child in other texts. And it is a scene where the prophet is struggling immensely in the situation. And day and night, that he struggled with this sound and this vision. I translate verses 19 to 21 directly while I'm studying. This is just Hebrew to just my translation. It's a little bit poor, but please understand. My stomach, I writhe in pain. The walls of my heart. My heart is roaring to me. I cannot keep silent. For the whole sound of horn, my soul, you hear the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is proclaimed. So whole land is destroyed. My tent suddenly destroyed. In a moment curtain. Until when I see the battle flag, I hear the sound of the horn. Jeremiah once complained to God in this way, Jeremiah 27-9. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. It was his title, title of the sermon. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and a derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name, there is in my heart, as it was a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I'm weary with holding in it, and I cannot. During this painful ministry, the prophet Jeremiah once protested against God, but whenever the word of God came upon him, it came to his heart like a bed of fire. The fire that is just bed of fire, that just somebody is heating your heart with a fire. How you can bear that much energy from God? So he did not avoid his call and had to follow the Lord faithfully in his time. Regarding Jeremiah's unwavering faithfulness, the ESV Study Bible commented as follows. Many authors have called Jeremiah a weeping prophet, while he does occasionally weep for Israel's condition, and this depth of the concern speak well of him. This emphasis on his weeping may mislead readers regarding his toughness. Jeremiah was a determined, dedicated, long-suffering, and an visionary follower of God. He could perhaps more accurately be called the persevering prophet. As I thought about the life of Prophet Jeremiah, and I saw the figure of Jesus Christ appearing in the book of Hebrews in my heart. It is from Hebrews chapter 12, 2. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You will see that the prophet Jeremiah followed the footsteps of the faith of Jesus Christ, who did not waver due to the joy that was set beyond the cross, even in the midst of the agony of the cross, long ago with the help of God. Second point found in the text is that relationship. How does God view, see the people of Israel? God once called the house of Jacob in the book of Isaiah. This is from Isaiah chapter 41, 14. Fear not, you worm, Jacob. I'm not sure that my pronunciation is okay, but worm, Jacob, you man of Israel, I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. What can earthworms do? People usually think, ugh. I grew up some plants in my just backyard. When my kids see the worms and the insects, they said, ugh! And then Jeremiah, my daughter Evangelina just found it. And Jeremiah, what he does? Boys usually do? Like this. It is a matter of the swaying when it is crushed by the human foot. The people of Judah who did sign a covenant with God and was supposed to recognize that God was their father, yet committed the sin of serving other gods. Therefore, in God's eye, sometimes they are just worms or insects that you most hated. Just during summer, I love enjoying summer, but at the same time, we hate mosquitoes, right? So in God's eye, sometimes they are just worms and mosquitoes that just people hate. Jeremiah 15, 5 to 6, it is from God, just God saying, who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who will grieve for you? Who will turn aside to ask about your welfare? How are you? You are good? You have rejected me, declares the Lord. You keep going backward. So I have stretched my hands against you and destroyed you. I'm weary of relenting. As I said before, God has been patient with the Israelites for 806 years from the time of the Moses until now the prophet Jeremiah. But at the end, just God is weary. God said, I'm sick and tired of embracing you and forgiving you, Israel. Yet, there are expressions of God still calling the Israelites in today's text. My people. My children. Creator of the whole universe, the sovereign one, God of the living, and the one true God called Israel to a special relationship. My people. My children. Yet these people sinned against him. If other nations in the Old Testament sinned, it was the road to their destruction. Just the end. However, God did not forsake Israel, but accepted them again and again. It is from Jeremiah 31:31-33. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What good news is this? We call the love of God, who not only covers the stupid and the foolish people, but also calls them my people and my children. At the end, third point, to know God, how much it is important to know someone correctly and diligently. The original Hebrew word translated to the text as to know, in the text is yada. This verb, according to commentary, had the meanings of knowledge of experiential and personal and intuitive knowledge and respect or recognition of the person, and not intellectual knowledge or knowledge of facts. When you learn something from the text, it is not yada. Yada is you have to experience your knowledge, and then personal, you have to gain the knowledge from the people, the relationship. Just I've been seeing Hercules and Lanera for almost two years, and then I know them, what they like and how they engage the people. And this is personal. And then intuitive knowledge. When you saw something and then you automatically know that, oh, this is right and this is wrong. Intuitive. And then respect of the person. When you respect someone, and then that is also yada. With above definitions, we would infer that not only that the Israelites did not know Jehovah, their God, but they lived as independent from God, that they did not acknowledge God at all. On the other hand, the Hebrew verb translated understanding, today translated no understanding is understanding, is bin. This verb also has a meaning of the discerning, to discern in English. To understand these two verbs, yada and bin, there is a good illustration God has already written in a very vivid parable. It is from Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, and they have the fountain of the living water, and hewed cisterns, reservoir tank, for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. There is a source of living water right in front of you. And drinking this water is a kind of a living water that renews your whole body and mind and soul. But the Israelites, people were so foolish and stupid, and that they do not want to experience, they do not want to drink this water, just water, just taste it, but they don't trust. They not only mistrust God, but they did not even desire to taste this living water. Due to their foolish actions, they eventually dug another cistern, tank or reservoir next to this living water, which even cannot hold the least of the bit of water. First of all, this puddle, this tank, is dirty and broken, insufficient to hold the least of the bit of water, in which it is talking about the Israelites leaning on other countries, keep leaning on other countries and then other countries, not just leaning on God, leaning to God. Therefore, since they did not drink this water, they did not know it is good or not. They have no knowledge at all about the water. In addition, once they found out that cistern, the tank that they dug, is not working, they have to come back and then just drink water, but they didn't. And then they dug another cistern that doesn't work for them. Today's text, three words, seems to be just right to describe these people, Israelites. Foolish, stupid. If you keep insisting, these two became evil. Foolish, stupid, and evil. In the text, the original language of the wise is a hakamim. According to a commentary, it has a meaning of wise, smart, intelligent, and prudent. Also refers to ability to solve and deal with difficult problems with a specialized knowledge and skills. Therefore, interpret through the text, it means that the Israelites are experts in doing evil. They are very good at evil. They are very good at wise how to do good, evil things, but are completely incompetent and ignorant in doing good. They are not doing business with the good. Through today's text, we thought about 3 points. With these 3 points, key points, severe suffering and endurance of Prophet Jeremiah and the relationship about just in between God and how the God view the Israelites. And then third point, to know God. I want us to bring joy to God instead of sigh of lamentation with our conclusion. Questions. How do we do good? Or how can you be wise in doing good? It is a life of walking, including sufferings and endurance, with our Savior Jesus Christ and following the voice of the Holy Spirit in any circumstances while experiencing and knowing the love and disposition, character of God, who sent His Son Jesus Christ, who gave Himself even to death for our sins. Knowing that when we sin, it's seizing God's heart. It makes God burst His anger. Knowing that we are sinners, yet God still cares and loves us. So we are called to be faithful as our Father is. Knowing that God wants us to make a personal relationship with Him, as today's Hebrew verb yada means. And also discerns what is good and what is evil before Him. This is a testimony, and one of our church members shared it, and then I got a permission, so I share it. I will read it for you. Last Monday, her husband, had a cystoscope to see why he was bleeding. He had an MR urogram yesterday to check his kidney, also because of the bleeding, awaiting result. Starting Monday, he is scheduled to start hyperbaric oxygen therapy, where he will breathe pure oxygen inside a highly pressured environment for 40 days, 2 hours a day, to aid the healing of radiation cystitis. And radiation for his cancer was done in the 90s. And also, as his cancer is growing again, the nutrient of taking Zytiga pills started yesterday. He must take prednisone pills along with it. We'll see if it works. After 30 years, the cancer has entered his bones. He will soon be receiving medicine to strengthen them. God has been with us through all of this, and we praise Him. Throughout the whole year, I'm not sure that you have just family members who struggle with the cancers or illness. Throughout the whole 3 years, 30 years, at the end, she confessed that God has been with us through all of this, and we praise Him. What are some ways we are getting to know God better these days? How much progress are we making in the gospel? How are we experiencing God and then gaining more intimacy while deepening our relationship with Him? In our current environment, how is God speaking to us? What kind of warnings are we hearing, and how are we responding to them? The more seriously we answer these questions, the more mature Christian we will become. May we become the people of the Lord in which our Father is pleased through our maturity in Christ. Let us pray. God the Father, thank You for giving us the opportunity to think about the path to becoming Your children while learning the life of the prophet Jeremiah and our Father's suffering and lamentation through the book of Jeremiah. When we look around us, we see that the world is becoming more and more wicked, and due to the generation of people who enjoy doing evil because it is dominated by sin. We also confess that we are sinners before You. Thank You for pouring out the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ, into our hearts daily. We pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ will burn more in our hearts so that we may live by the gospel day by day. We pray that You may help us to cultivate our lives with your word and prayers so that we can listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit this week and obey. Please help us to discern and practice God's will in every single part of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.